Okay, so I'm going to come to the Visioning Project homepage, and I'm going to come over to the list of participants here alphabetically, and I'm going to just go ahead and start this conversation. And I want to thank everyone. My name is Lisa Chipatine. I'm your new president for SOCWA.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you for taking on the job.
Very, very much. I'm very excited. This is actually one of my visions come true today by becoming your president. And it actually was what kind of gave me the idea for starting this project. Many of you have already kind of set out your steps on your pages and put your goals down for the year for what you'd like to do. And I'm actually going to ask if just by saying yes, those of you, I probably will be able to tell, how many people have had some difficulty with or do not know how to operate the SOCWA U Wiki in terms of adding information onto it?
Yes. Me.
Okay. All right, so I'm looking at about five of you, it sounds like. Okay, so here's what I think we're going to do, because we have a real long list of people this evening. I'm going to take you guys, we're going to have a discussion for about maybe a half hour, 45 minutes. And then I'll take that group at the end, and I'll give you some quick instructions, okay?
Thanks.
Okay,
great.
Terrific. Well, welcome, everyone. And I know that we've got about 31 of us here on the line this evening out of our, what's almost 100 individuals who are participating. And many of you, I have found, are looking to, A, either make work, or find your voice. And then there's a variety of you who appear to really want to delve into the business part of this. And then there's a third group that appears to want to have specific types of exhibitions or become part, or you have your voice, you've developed work, and now you want to take it to the next level. So I would like to kind of start with the individuals who are in looking for their voice or trying to come up with a series or have been working along. And I'm going to ask if any of you would like to ask any questions of the group. You've got a lot of people of a lot of different levels on this evening. And if any of you can tell me, you know, how you plan on progressing, or if you've had any problems, or if you'd like any suggestions on anything. So I know it's a big floor, but we're going to open it up for a second.
This is Susan Brubaker Knapp. I have one suggestion for that, and that is I would love to have contact with some people who have successfully worked in a series about what they learned from it, how it helped them grow, you know, the benefits to it, and also some of the difficulties maybe that they faced during it.
Is there anyone on the line who can give her a little bit of feedback on that?
Well, this is Therese May, and I've done a lot of series, and I do a lot of work all the time, and I find that it just gives me a way to learn how to do the work, like what's my rhythm and what things really work to make the pieces better, because I'm doing them over and over again. So,
Therese, are you normally working in a specific theme of some nature? I mean, I know that your technique is pretty consistent across your pieces, but how do you define a series?
Yeah, it's a theme, definitely, because earlier this year, I had a show, and I titled it Riding the Horse, and I made 65 small pieces, and they were all shaped like horses' hooves,
okay.
Kind of like, you
Is
know.
Is it on your website, Therese?
Cool. It's on my website.
And it's therese.may.com?
Hmm.
So
great. You know, I took a lot of images I already had and printed them out, and you can see it like on the home page. Actually, it says new riding the horse quilts.
Okay, stay with me here.
Oh yep, I can see that on. It's on your place, Lisa, near the picture.
Oh, I got it. Okay, see if I can pull it up. So it's riding the horse quilts, huh?
Oh wow.
And so I just decided, since I turned 65 last year, so I made 65 of these small quilts. Each one.
Wow. Great.
Like a step, and shaped like a horse's hoof, and then the drawings I had on my computer, I printed those out. And I just, it was a way to bring together a lot of different elements that I had, and so that I could have this show and have it be a cohesive expression. And then each one has a word on it about relating to personal growth. So that was my theme.
So Susan, do you see how she's done this? I mean, one of the things that I know that I was told by my mentor, Sandra Sider, is that especially when you're trying to do an exhibition, it's like the thing that Therese did here is that most of these pieces are similar in size.
Yeah, they're similar, and yet they vary a little bit. And then there were three large pieces too, and I felt like since I had the opportunity to have a one-person show at a museum, that kind of gave me the motivation to put all of my ideas together into a cohesive expression. So
Teresa, the unifying factor is the shape.
The shape.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here I am thinking it's got to be something complicated, like, you know, actually put on the quilt. But it's just the shape.
Yeah.
So you don't get bored.
What?
You don't get bored doing 68.
Well, the part of the point of doing a series is you do get bored, and so it pushes you to a new place. For me, working in series is it solves a lot of problems because I don't have to reinvent what I'm making work about each time I go to the studio. But when I do hit those walls, instead of going out all over the place, I'm going vertical. I'm going up and up and up, and so that's why I like working in series, because it pushes me on. The boredom is helpful. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm curious about something. When you say that you push yourself, how do you do that?
By trying a different thing within the process that I'm using, by trying a different shape, by trying, what happens if I, instead of sewing these pieces together with a straight seam, what happens if I butt these seams, put backing underneath and put a layer of fiber on top and sew it together that way? What happens if I use this color palette instead of that? But I'm still using the same theme, the same ideas. I'm still working about the same concepts, but I'm visually approaching it a little bit different.
So
because I don't, you know, get repetitive can be really good because it will make you think creatively about doing it a different way, same thing a different time.
So each subsequent piece is a small step, and you've only changed one thing or another?
Yeah, and sometimes you change several things.
Okay.
What happens if I stamp with acrylic paint on the fabric instead of stamping with dye? You know, what happens if I hand sew stuff and use some of this junk fabric I've got laying around the studio instead of using my hand-dyed fabrics? And so it becomes a process of what happens if.
Well, there's a lot of different factors that can come in to tie pieces together. I mean, I make all of my artwork from a title. So, you know, I can have a series that's based on a specific theme of words, and then I develop the pieces from there. For example, right now I'm working on a series called my Recession Series. And it's all about, you know, my, you know, job layoffs and the economy and everything else. So, but I start with the title and I work from there. I mean, different people use color to move through pieces, making a similar piece but just changing the color palette. Some people just use, you know, a specific theme. You know, if it's flowers, fowl, trees, whatever it is. I mean, and you know, words can be powerful too to move through a theme. So I think that's kind of what you're trying to decide you want to do. I mean, in the steps that I put on the visioning project, I don't know if you all have seen, and I've got some stuff to update on here, actually, the suggestions for steps that I've kind of steered some of you to. This is some of the steps that I had for, you know, developing your voice. And under the suggestions for steps, you can go through these. And when I was first starting, you know, one of my mentors said to me, she said, well, she said, what do you love? And this was when I was first starting. And I said, oh, I just love those canyons out in Utah. And she said, okay. She said, what's your favorite technique? I said, I love to thread paint. And she said, and what's your favorite color palette? I said, well, that's easy, all the hot stuff, you know, red, yellow, orange. She said to me, she looked at me, she said, go to work. That was it.
That's great.
I made those three choices, and that's all she said. She said, go to work. She said, you're done, go to work. And then I was able to expand out from there. So,
hey, Lisa.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, it's Cynthia. I wanted to, if we're going to talk about working in a series, I was going to say I have a series that I am in progress on my blog if you want to pop it up.
I sure can. Tell me where I'm going.
Okay, I'm going to spell it for you. So it's Cyn Vallesley, CynVallesley .blogspot.com.
Okay, hold tight with me.
Yeah, I know it's so hard.
CynVallesley Yeah.
Dot blog. Dot com. Dot. There you go.
Okay. See what we got. I think I got all that in there. Oh, hello.
Yep, there you are. Okay, so scroll down the page and you'll see some bigger pictures.
Okay, excuse me, I got to get my administrative screen out of the way here. Okay. Wow, that's beautiful.
We're not seeing it.
It's not scrolling, Lisa.
It's not scrolling?
No.
There.
Oh, yeah. Quilt National.
Am I where I'm supposed to be, Cynthia?
Keep going down a little further past the image of the notebook.
Okay.
You really have fun doodling, don't you?
Okay, so there you go. So there you're into the images from a series.
Okay. Oh, okay, so I see you have Reframe. So tell me about this series real quick.
Okay, so this is a series that was based on using the doodling from my book and where I could go using fabric qualities, so cutting up pieces of fabric to put different shapes and then trying to build other shapes on top of it. So what you're seeing so far is only painting. There's no quilting involved yet. The quilting is yet to come.
Okay. And this is painting with dye?
Painting with dye.
Okay.
And discharging. And if you get down to the piece that's called stanza.
Okay, there's harmony.
There it is. It's up in. Now that piece is freezer paper applique technique.
Mike, I can't get on the website. I need some help.
Yeah, Mike.
Okay, we're getting help. We're getting help in the background here.
Yes.
Okay, Stay with me. So all of these things, you've got words that associate them too. So the theme appears to be, it looks like you've got birds all through them, Cynthia.
And I think the theme is it's also in the size. They're all 5 feet wide by 3 feet tall.
they're all sharing some similar materials, but I wanted to stretch the idea of theme beyond 10 pieces that really looked alike to stretch the ideas of it's almost like a collection, like a clothing collection.
Oh, that's an interesting concept.
Okay.
Now, I'm curious about something, and I'm just going to flip, this is going to flip us from this subject of creating a series over into the business area of this for those people who are looking at using their art or developing a textile business of some sort. Now, in making these pieces, have you thought about how you're going to market them? Have you thought about whether or not that you could copyright these, and which you should do anyway, and license the images or put the images out on other things or Dougie Clays, that type of thing?
Well, I don't think that's the direction I'm specifically going. I think I really have my heart in fine arts. But I did read somewhere on the Visioning Project where you suggested to someone that they should try to show with other artists, and you mentioned glasswork.
Yes.
And I thought pieces would look really good with glass. And I live in the Bay Area, and there are a couple really well-known glass manufacturers here. So I've kind of gone, my thoughts have drifted off in that direction.
Well, I know that you've got some Californians on the phone with you this evening. Has anybody else shown with other artists of another medium, glass or other, that they can give us a little case study on?
Carol Larson, I've shown with woodworkers.
Wow.
And I've exhibited with painters and 3D artists.
And I'm going to start with Carol. Carol, I'm curious. So, In terms of, because that's a totally opposite end of the spectrum, too, with the woodworkers, was it like woodworking in terms of like furniture, or was it some type, or sculptures, or?
It was more like bowls and tables, small tables. It was in San Luis Obispo.
I can't get anything to go away once I...
And were you trying to... almost like do it in room sets, or was it just individual pieces that were staged together?
Everything was staged together. And the reception was really interesting because it was about 95% men.
Wrong man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And were your price points pretty even with what you were showing and what the woodworking artist was showing?
Not really. I think... by and large, I think my work was probably the highest priced, and I was with maybe seven or eight other fiber people, and I don't recall exactly what the price point was on the woodworking, but I know it was less than it was on the art quilts.
And were you showing smaller pieces or bigger pieces, Carol?
I was showing larger pieces.
Like 40 by 50, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I think the piece I showed, I just had one piece in the show, and it was, no, I had two pieces, and like 12 by 12, and one was 35 by 36, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, I wanted to mention, I think the entry date passed, but the San Francisco Design Center sent out an invitation to our Northern California Sakwa chapter and said they would like to have 20 art quilts to show in the Design Center to celebrate textiles for a month. And I thought that was a really great opportunity for us and for them to come together and show people something they hadn't seen before.
Not only is that a great opportunity, it certainly says that people are starting to recognize that we're an art medium.
Right.
That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that, I'm sorry, was it Susan? Who else who said that you showed with painters?
Susan Christensen, yeah, I've been showing my work with a group here in Petersburg for many years, and the work always looks really great together. I recently had an exhibition in Ketchikan, Alaska with six other women artists, and I've got photographs from that show that I tried to put on my page a couple of nights ago, and I wasn't able to get them to upload. I will continue to try that, and they'll be there on my page here one of these days real soon.
Okay, and if there's a problem, let me know, and I'll help you, and we'll see what the deal is.
Sure.
Sometimes that can be also a browser issue as well on software.
I think that's what was going on because I kept timing out. So.
I will tell those of you who have recently, if you have upgraded to Internet Explorer 8, which I now want to take off of my machine, and go back to the old version, that it has caused some problems. So if you have problems, that may be it. Susan, do you have a website?
This is Sally McQuaid, The Woodlands, Texas.
Oh, Sally, you're back with me. Good.
Yeah, I've got you now on screen.
Great. Super. Now, Susan, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. I do.
What is it?
SJChristensen.com. It's spelled S like Susan, J like Joy. Christensen is C-H-R-I-S, and then T-E-N-S-E-N.
.com, right?
.com, yeah.
Okay. So while her website is coming up, I'm curious. Now, in these, either Carol or Susan, did either one of you, while you were showing your work or showing your work in other places, have you done things like made note cards or other paraphernalia that would go like in a gift shop type of situation?
I have done that, but I didn't do it for that particular show.
And
I've never done that in conjunction with a show. I do have a sideline of beaded pins and things that I sell at my studio, but I've never exhibited it with, or you know, I've never had a sideline at an exhibit.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
There's
Hi,
a website called
Kathy Strand, and I just had a show, and I had my cards that corresponded to some of my quilts, and it really helped. I didn't really sell many of my quilts. I think they're too expensive, I guess, but the cards go pretty well. People love the quilts, and I do show with other people too because I belong to a co-op, and people, they love it that I show my fiber with everything else.
Yeah.
Do you do giclées? Have you done any giclées and tried to sell the giclées versus the quilt?
No.
I've only done one for a special person that wanted my first art quilt that I refused to get rid of, give up. But that is an idea.
Well, I will tell you, I think it's worth the investment. I know that on SockWU, on the main SockWU website, Susan, I'm having a problem bringing up your website. It's SJ Christensen, did I spell this right, .com?
Yeah, SJ Christensen, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not getting it.
You've got an extra N
on
there.
On the main SockWU website, I'm actually going to come over for a second just so that if I can find it real quick for you guys. There was a whole section that was done on giclées because Julie Hirota, who's in California, she had a lot of experience doing that. And nowadays, you don't necessarily have to invest in, you know, having 50 or whatever it is printed. There, a lot of these firms, because things are digital now, are doing them on demand. So there's not necessarily that upfront investment. You can do one or two or however many and test it.
There's
Lisa, where would you go for something like that? I live in the middle of nowhere.
I'm trying to tell you that there's a website called Fine Art America. You upload your image, and you can the customers have their option of how they would like it printed, whether it would be giclée on canvas or on 100% rag. And they charge what you want. They mail it out. You don't have to do anything but collect the money.
I think I just went to heaven. Are you serious?
Yes, it's called Fine Art America. And as far as I know, I'm the only quilt art person on there so far. And the other artists just love my work. And even just getting that feedback is just a rush, you know. FineArtAmerica.com.
It's showing now on the screen. Are you listed under the artists?
Yes, Sally McQuaid, S-A-L. I've just barely started doing this. S-A-L-L-I McQuaid, capital M-C, capital U-U-A-I-D.
Okay, let's see what we got. Do they have these in order? Okay, McLaughlin.
Well, mix and max are always hard.
It should be under it could be under I have a Art Quilt Extraordinaire as the name of my gallery.
All right.
It sounded good to me.
It does. It's great.
Oh, Sally, what a pretty picture.
There you are.
Thank you. And so then you can go there, and then you can have interaction, and they put the artists that are closest to you geographically, and you can watch other artists' work and get inspired. And it's just really a neat deal. I've just barely started it. But you see, I've got 10 pieces there, which my work does not look like a series, does it?
You know what? But there are things that you could bring together and then make other pieces to make series. I mean, you've got pieces here that can go together, Sally.
Yeah. I just like to be inspired by whatever comes into my life at the time, you know, and it takes me a really long time to do one of them because each is an original, you know, and some of them are huge, and then they go clear down to 3.5 inches square.
Well, I will tell you that this is worth the entire call this evening, guys. This Fine Art America. This is like one-stop shopping here. And they'll mail it out, Sally?
They mail it out. You put how much you want to receive for the piece and what size. The only catch is you have to have really large images. I mean, they have to be like, you know, because they can't do a 14 or 16 or a 20 by 30 without really, really high pixels. So I think about the highest I've been able to achieve is around a 16 by 20.
Well, so in other words, you've got to have professional photographs done in order to do this.
I think we can do that because we have a really good camera. But the deal is they also do note cards. And, like, if you wanted to, maybe you could just order your own and have them, you know, a set of note cards and have them accompany your exhibition and sell them one at a time or something.
Well, that's a really interesting idea. It looks like they have a stretched canvas as well.
Yes, G. Clay, stretched canvas, all kinds of rag, and, I mean, you name it, and they've got it.
What do they do with your regular edges, Sally?
With your edges? They just,
like you have some that are wavy, you know?
I haven't had one done. And I've considered, if it were me and I were ordering one of mine, I'd have it wrapped. But then some of mine are appropriate just for having, you know, being matted. And I've thought about, well, maybe I should just cut them down myself. We consider cheating when we enter a show, but just cut them down myself so that they would be perfectly appropriate for prints. And that's my option, too, but I've been really busy, and it does take some time to load them up. But I would just advise getting the largest pixels you can or whatever it is. I can never figure that out. We can do it real high resolution on our camera.
Excuse me.
And, you know, and upload them in the format you would like to see them in on prints. That's what I'd say. So if you feel like you need to crop, if your stuff is square enough, you don't need to crop, you know, or like what Teresa's, it's shaped with just a nice white or black background or whatever you want. So,
Sally, I think that somebody's got a question for you on the line.
Sure.
I do.
This is Deborah Droog in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, when you upload, do you upload to an FTP site or
is that how they upload them? Directly into their software, probably.
No, you sign up, and I paid $30 for a year. And then you go into your particular site, and you find the buttons that allow you to load up new art. I think it's under artwork once you get, you know, okayed and stuff. And but you don't have to do the $30 thing. You could just list it, but I don't think that's very good because they can't sell it for you. You have to sell your own originals.
Do they do anything else with the images?
Oh, no, no. It has to be subject to your approval. But, you know, you and they're very, very careful about what they accept so that the resolution will be just right and stuff. So
okay.
It's according to the file you send, the size of the file you send. And my daughter's done it. She does drawings and paintings, and it works real well for her.
Carol Larson, you know what I'm thinking here?
What?
I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe something like this is with the series that you're trying to market.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe there's a way to somehow tie this type of thing into, you know, portions of it being given to maybe some type of special charity or special fund as well that could maybe put into your marketing campaign. It's just something that just hit me. Maybe yes, maybe no.
As far as donating the artwork to charity?
No. In terms of if you license some of your images or created other products other than the art,
uh-huh,
and then have a portion of those sales go to something that would be, you know, whatever charity or situation that you would feel comfort, that would give you some comfort in doing that, that might be another way to market with it as well.
Okay.
Because I know that, I don't know if you were able to listen to Hollis Chatelaine's mentorship call that we did a week or so ago, but, I mean, it's really interesting that a lot of these museums and these venues, they also want product.
Uh-huh.
And they want saleable stuff for their gift shops. It's kind of like, you know, how Quilt National always wants those mini quilts to put in their gift store.
Yeah.
To sell, you know, as part of the exhibit.
Okay. Going back to the first question about series, I just wanted to say that when I designed that series, I sat down and I wrote up every possible memory, feeling, emotion, anything that had anything to do with the subject, and I came up with 60 ideas for work. And so I just wanted to mention that as a resource for people who are doing a series, is just to, you know, start with a list.
Is doing a series absolutely necessary, or can you, I mean, you see how I work. I just, there's something that's on my mind, and I want to do that.
Well, like I said, Sally, I mean, there's ways that you can bring things together. It's just that if you're looking to go to a venue like a gallery or a museum or somebody, mm-hmm, and approach them, I mean, they want to see what they call a cohesive body of work. They want to see something that when it hangs in their space, looks like it belongs together, no matter how it's tied in together.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you do that just by size?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to tie the pieces together, but I've always been counseled that you should have at least a good portion of your pieces along a similar size. The one thing I will tell you is that the one thing that my mind just went absolutely blank.
Things align, you know, similar works.
is what a gallery or museum is looking for.
Carol, I was going to your body of work here from what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the series that Carol is trying to market, and it's a personal, very personal series to her, and she's been trying to find venues to take it, and that's what I was trying to come up with, you know, was maybe a way to take these images. I got to tell you, I mean, I'm looking at some of these, Carol, even some of these thumbnail pieces here. I mean,
I'm struck by how much red there is. It's really big.
Yeah.
All the people could go together and all the reds together, all the abstracts or whatever.
Purples and pinks and blues, too.
Yeah.
The predominant color is red, and I think that's really interesting.
Versatile.
Lisa?
Yeah.
This is Susan Balch, and I have a question. For those of us that have worked in, you know, maybe two or three different kind of styles or series, I seem to be bringing together a couple different styles and merging them. Is there anybody that's done that and had success in kind of bringing, you know, bringing pieces together?
When you say style, can you kind of elaborate? Are you talking about that they incorporate a special technique, or can you kind
of... Well, when I look at my quilts, I can kind of put them into three different series. And, you know, it's kind of hard to work in that many different series, and I'm trying to decide whether to choose one or a couple of the pieces. I find myself incorporating elements from two different series to come up with sort of a new way of working that will be more cohesive.
Well, you don't have to, I mean, you're not stuck doing one series forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, I have like 10 or 12 different series of things that I've worked on where I've done 3 to 5 pieces a piece.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it sounds to me like what's happened is exactly what was being discussed before, is that you're working, and it's pushing you, and that pushing is bringing these elements together to go forward with them.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Was the working in the series, you have three different series, was it intentional, or they were just pieces that you made that when you looked at them all together, you can put them in three different series?
The latter.
Me too.
That they, you know, they've kind of developed into these three different series.
And are you still working like that? Are you
well,
still producing the work that will come into these three series?
Yeah, it's still, they still seem to be, my interest still seems to be in those three series.
And can we know what they are?
One is pictorial, representational, and the subject matter is fish or fly fishing related, because that's another passion of mine.
Do you have a
another
website?
Yes.
Well,
I'm ready to share it.
To the floor. Why don't you tell me what it is?
Fish, F-I-S-H,
uh-huh.
The letter N.
Uh-huh.
QUILT.com.
Fishing quilt?
Yep.
I got to tell you something. I am like the branding freak. So I just think that's fabulous, because nobody is going to forget that.
I've been there. It's great. I visited it this afternoon. It's a great site.
Thank you.
To be fascinated with fish. It's wonderful.
And this is the gallery that's really a retrospective of all my work.
And there's lots of turquoise. You're a water person.
Yes.
Now, Susan, I got to tell you something. If it were me, I would take these images and I would find who the publisher of, like, all the bass magazines are.
Well, I do have, yeah, I do have that in mind. A lot of these pieces are gone now. I have also have a gap in my work, so some of these pieces are quite a few years old. So if you look, if you go to the new work,
okay.
Those are recent pieces that have been done since
work?
I returned to my quilting.
Okay.
And blue is definitely...
Okay.
Those are my recent.
What your color palette is.
But I see how the ways you're working, the three different categories. It's very interesting.
Well, I see. Here's where I'm saying, you know, you could have. I'm telling you, you could go to like one of these fishing magazines. It never hurts to have.
Rodney,
oh, no, I already have a connection, a couple connections.
You know,
because I'm a fly fishing instructor too, so I've been in the industry for years.
Well, so let them see your other side.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know that somebody
really?
Is a, you know, here's another way to think about this, guys. I mean, when I talk about licensing your images, I mean, there was, I'll give you a prime example. One of my friends in Manhattan, who quite honestly just really doesn't care whether or not she exhibits or not, and she's a phenomenal artist, had somebody come to her, she made all of these incredible, like, street punk quilts, and they wanted to give her $10,000 just for the copyright, just so that they could put it on things like cards and mugs and this and that and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned it down.
I hope so.
And, you know, but there, you know, some people are into that and some people don't want that type of thing, but it is a way to generate revenue.
I mean, $10,000 is nothing for that kind of thing.
So it all depends on how you market yourself.
It would be a lot for me.
It would be a lot for me, too.
To me, it looks like a cover shot. Some of these could be cover shots for a fly fishing magazine.
Absolutely.
It would be wonderful.
Oh, like that one that was trophied, which is way down at the bottom somewhere?
Mm-hmm. A lot of them, you know. I mean, just
the Apache trout, I mean.
Yeah.
And the other
something
thing you
like that
or they're doing is finding a freelance writer who would write an article about you, at both as a fly fisher and as a quilter, that they might pitch to the magazines.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
That's a great idea.
And the other thing I'm thinking of is I'm a Canadian. And what do they fly people, where do they fly people from the States, rich people from the States, up to northern British Columbia to go fly fishing?
Mm-hmm.
Get a hold of a lodge who needs some art.
Mm-hmm. People
oh?
like would rather have something like that for a souvenir. I mean, from our Naval Academy reunion, I got commissioned to do a quilt because they didn't want to just go out and buy something. They wanted something special.
Right. Commissions.
Well, that is very, very cool. Now, has anybody printed their images or transferred their work over into, like, home deck, what I call home deck, like things other than just quilts that we hang on the wall, things like lamps and furniture and that type of
pillows.
Pillows.
There's somebody in Group 3 that is doing furniture. Is she on tonight?
I think it's Carla that's doing the furniture, and she's, I think, in Berkeley now.
Oh, she's doing some kind of special related thing, though, isn't she? She's gone to some
green... Yeah, that San Francisco show.
Yeah.
Hey, Lynn, yes, are you still on the phone?
Yes, that was just me.
Okay. I was going to say, why don't you tell us a little bit about your visioning goal and what you're trying to do?
Well, basically what I'm trying to do is expand the business that I already have sewing for interior designers and offering them different decorative textiles to sell because they tend to always be looking for things and they spend a lot of time shopping and it takes an incredible amount of time to find unique things. So what I'm trying to do is expand my business so I can offer them a connection with a variety of different fiber artists, textile artists, and I can be a resource that they can come to when they want something specific. So that's in a nutshell kind of what I've been doing.
That
is this your
really
page that I'm looking at?
Yes,
Okay.
And Lisa, your first suggestion to me when I started this, probably it was in May, I guess. I mean, it's something I've been thinking about for a long time, but this visioning project gave me an opportunity to kind of have a structure to work within, was to piggyback on to another company rather than trying to do it all on my own. And so I have been trying to do that with the interior designers I work with, and then they've hooked me up with an artist rep. So hopefully I'll be working with them.
Yeah, I mean when you guys are thinking about whatever it is your goal is, you know, it's not necessarily that it has to be from a ground zero standpoint. If you can figure out a way to hook yourself into another venue or with another artist, or, I mean, even if it's just in the beginning as a learning experience, I mean, there's ways to do that to get yourself a jump start, too. And sometimes, especially in somebody like Lynn's situation, it, you know, it'll be helpful to her in terms of revenue investment to be able
right.
to find that type of thing.
Well, and I know a lot of people are set on galleries and that kind of thing, but I know that I'm in a very high-end area. Because I'm in Orange County with Newport Beach and Laguna Beach and LA and Malibu and that kind of thing. But a lot of designers and a lot of people I know that buy don't go through the galleries to do it. And there's something wonderfully fabulous to them about finding somebody exclusive that nobody else has found, too. So I would encourage people to build relationships with people like that in their, you know, local area, because I think a lot of people are looking for art and they're not necessarily going to the gallery to do it. And you can find it online, but that requires the person to be searching a lot. And hopefully I'll go through and find the quality so that I'll have a group of people that they can go to, rather than, you know, you don't want to, on your first client, a 10,000 square foot home, find somebody on the internet and hope that they pull through with their art. you know, you kind of want to have them have a reputation already. So, and I don't have a website, so you're not going to come up with anything on that.
Oh, okay.
Haven't got that yet.
Okay. Just figured I'd give it a shot since I was here.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, I think it's something that people really miss with Sakwa, and that is that, I mean, all the time I'm taking a look through that slideshow that plays on the Sakwa website, and I'm seeing people who should be showing together, you know,
mm-hmm.
that would just be great in terms of, not necessarily that their work looks exactly alike, but that there's something about the two works together that would be a beautiful exhibit.
Well, if there's a curator for that slideshow, isn't there?
No, what that is on the homepage of the Sakwa website, each of the professional members, the people who apply for PAM membership, that's one
right.
of their benefits. And you can upload your images as you see fit. So,
oh,
I mean,
so there's no nobody coordinates that.
No,
you could only upload two images. I've never.
That's right. Only
yeah.
two. Because trust me, the things I think it's two in there. I think there's like, I can't even remember at this point. I think there's like 300 or 400 PAM members. So it's a tremendous amount of images to go through there, but. The other thing that's an interesting thing to think about in terms of marketing, too, and believe it or not, these programs, I bought one for $50 on the web. You can take your images and make screensavers, yeah. Make screensavers out of them and burn them to CDs and sell it. And those screensavers can be, like, auto-launched. I mean, they've got programs that do this whole thing. Literally, you drag and drop your images, and the programs are, like, $50. And that's another really interesting way to make some money. So, I mean, you can take the stuff, you can make these computer programs. I mean, I'm just trying to throw out ideas for you where those of you who are revenue-driven might be able to make money, other than, especially in this economy, selling your artwork directly.
Has anybody had any sort of success with online galleries, like Art for Home, I think, is one, or Thousand Markets or something like that?
I've sold a few pieces on Artful Home lately. This is Therese.
You did?
Past couple years, I think I've sold 3 quilts from Artful Home. So.
Are you still with them, or?
Yeah. And recently, it's been a few months, but it used to be that you were juried into it, and then, you know, it was free of charge. And now it costs $25 a month. Be on
that
website.
Is that the same person as the guild, Therese? Is this the guild?
It used to be the guild.
Okay. All right.
And the difference is you have control over what goes on your page. You can upload pictures. Before, you had to submit them, you know, and then they did that. So now you get to do the work, plus you get to pay. I like this website, and the people are very nice people.
Very interesting. And so do they take care of all the money transactions and then transfer it to you?
Yes, and there's a separate site that's just for the artists, and it's a place where you go to, you know, upload the artwork, and it also has a program where you manage your, you know, your orders and stuff like that.
And can I ask you what price range you're selling on that, of those 3?
Well, my pieces are anywhere from $400 to
$10,000. Mm-hmm.
So, and also they have a built-in thing where, you know, you measure your package and you weigh it, and then you type that in, and then you print out a UPS label. So, you know, you ship it to the customer, but...
So are they getting a percentage then, or they're just getting the $35, or...?
Oh, and then you get half of the...
Of the sale price, so it's a 50% commission, just like if you were in a brick and mortar gallery.
Exactly.
Plus your what? 25 cents a month? $25 a month?
$25 a month.
Wow.
And what are they giving you for that, Therese? I mean, if you're doing all the work, do they do any other publicizing for that?
Oh, they do a lot of publicity. They have catalogs that go out quarterly, and of course, my things are all one of a kind, so they're not usually in the catalog. But last year, I did have a piece in their catalog, which didn't sell, but, you know, it was publicity. So.
I know that they used to send these catalogs out to interior designers and that type of demographic. Is that still the case, or do you know?
Yeah, that's called the Guild Source Book.
Yeah.
And I think it costs a couple $1,000s now. It used to be more like $1,200. I did it a few times. Years gone by, but it's just too expensive. But if, you know, if you can afford the $2,000 or however much it is, it's a beautiful book, and they send it out to, you know, galleries and art consultants and interior designers. Kind of like our book, you know.
Yeah, like our Portfolio 16.
Exactly. It's like that.
Well, see what a great deal Sakwa is on the professional membership.
Yes.
Not that I'm promoting or anything. But it certainly seems like a lot better deal than paying a whole boatload of money.
a lot better deal.
Yeah, but if you're not a professional yet, you have to kind of, you know.
Well, that's a goal to work towards.
Right.
That's why we, you know, try and grow this organization organically, because everybody has a day one. And I got a newsflash for you. Everybody is still learning in this business. We're all still, you know, no matter how high you get up on the spectrum, you know, people who make it then are trying to figure out how to keep themselves and keep themselves fresh.
Well,
you know, I mean, this is not something where you go and then ta-da, that's it. You know, this is a continual type of process. And the thing about all of this internet stuff with the technology is that it makes things faster, but it keeps opening up entirely new options. It's like, you know, with my goal in learning this broadcast video stuff, I mean, that's the next wave is we're going to be going from blogs to all video broadcast.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But I promise I'll put makeup on, so.
I didn't mean that.
So we've talked this evening a little bit about, we've talked about making a series. We've talked a little bit about how to make money in other ways. I'm going to open up the floor. It's 9 o'clock. We've been on for an hour, and with this group, I think we could be here for another four. And I certainly don't mind, you know, scheduling these calls. It's nice to see that I've gotten on a Thursday evening this kind of participation, so that certainly tells me something. I'm going to open up the floor and ask if there's any final questions that maybe we can talk about.
Lisa, does the visioning have to be a series? Because it sounded tonight as if you just jumped into a series. But I understood that we could vision for any goal we wanted.
It is. Oh no, 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 no! All I was doing was trying to address things like that, because a lot of people have the same goals right now.
Okay.
But you're not stuck in having to do. It's whatever you want. It's your vision. It's your goal. And you know, like I'm the only person doing broadcast media. I've got one person on here who's looking at writing a book, which I thought was interesting. I thought I'd have more people looking to write a book. But, you know, if you come to, like, the members with similar goals, one of the things that I found in listing these out was how many people, and I got to be honest with you, it really shocked me, were really just looking to make work or create a series or to find their voice. I mean, as you can see, there's a lot of people in those categories. And then we've got, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, who have a specific type of series that they've made that they want to market into a traveling exhibition. You know, I've got people that want to get into the teaching circuit. Cindy, I think I have to add you to that. No, I had you on as a PAM member, I think. But, we can move these around. But I was trying to, you know, it got to the point when people were signing up that I wanted to be able to group you guys
okay.
So that you would have a way to quickly look and say, oh, okay, these people are doing what I'm trying to do, and then maybe you would collaborate together that way. So I just would like to show those of you who are online with me this evening real quick. One of the ways to quickly see what's happened on the site since your last visit. I like to do this a little differently. I like to see, I truly go along here and uncheck all of these things and just do pages first so that I can see who has updated their page. Kate.
Right.
So that it tells me, you know, whose pages have been updated recently. It gives me a quick view. And then I uncheck that. I mean, it all depends on what you want to do. And then I like to see what conversations you guys are having, so I take a look at the messages that go back and forth, and people who are answering other people's, you know, visions. If you're in somebody's page, you'll see here at the top the the icon for the page. This is the actual page. This is Sally's page. And you'll notice over here to the right is the discussion tab. So if you want to say something to that person and have them be able to go back and kind of keep a running tab of what people are saying, you know, having a conversation for one specific artist, you should post it under their specific discussion tab. It makes it easier than having them to go search it out. And that's what you do. Each person has their own page, their own discussion tab. And since this has come up already, I want to just tell you a little bit about this. If for any reason something happens and you go, oh my gosh, my page is gone, or this was gone or that's gone, the one great thing about this type of technology is that it keeps a running history of the pages. So if for any reason you lose something, you can always get the last version back from the history tab. And it also tells you, by the way, when you made those updates, it keeps a running history for you. So that's a way to know that.
That's a wonderful.
I'm sorry?
I just said it's a wonderful thing. This is Pam. Thanks, Karen, for saving me.
Is there some kind of a list that you can go to or some kind of directory to find galleries that might wish to represent this kind of art?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, the gallery world has kind of really, I think, had a major shakeup because of the economy.
Right.
I mean, I know here in New York, the place where I bought 90% of the artwork in my home from went out of business after 35 years.
Oh, gosh.
And it's the one thing that I know you should really listen to. There's a mentorship call on the main SOCWU website under the mentorship calls area. A gentleman by the name of Bruce Hoffman did a mentorship call. Actually, it was about a year ago. And he talks about gallery representation and approaching galleries, and that's a really wonderful call to listen to, because it's giving you a perspective from the inside. And one of the things I will tell you that really tees galleries off is that when you just arbitrarily like whip your stuff out at them and you don't know anything about them, and it's like blindsided. It's good to do your research, but the other part of this is to really go out, and if you find a place, go out into the art community or amongst your other SOCWA members and ask for references, because please remember that even though it's a very sexy thing to be in a gallery, they are sales representatives. That's what they are. They are a sales representative for you. And it's as terrific as it is to be there, if they don't pay you, they're not doing their job, and you've got a problem. And there are all kinds of horror stories about that. So, I mean, I would think that's another reason why I think hooking up with another medium sometimes can be an easier way to market yourself into different areas. But fiber is becoming very, you know, I will say we're having our day.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the markets are certainly opening up. And remember something. The series that you make and how you market it, if you market it in the proper way to grab somebody's attention on some type of theme or some type of nature, depending on the venue that you're approaching, it doesn't matter if it's fiber or glass or whatever. If you're selling a concept, it's like Holla Chatelaine with her, you know, Imagine Hope exhibit. She's selling a concept.
Uh-huh.
And she did exactly what we're talking about here. She went out and she found photographers around the world. I think it's imaginehope.org. And she put together a like exhibit with photography and with her quilts. This is a concept right now. These quilts are still being built, but she's already in the process of selling this concept for exhibit purposes. So, I mean, it's a way to think about it. Well, guys, I tell you what I would like to do, unless I know that there's a group of about five or six of you who wanted me to go through a Sakwa University training with you. And I'm going to ask you, since it's late in the evening, I know that Eileen Dowdy, I think, is giving a Sakwa U training. If those of you would email me offline to lisa@threadplay.com, I may be able to hook you into her training, and if not, I will set up a separate separate webinar for us to have a specific training.
Lisa, could I ask a question?
Sure.
What is this training about? How to use our pages?
Yeah, how to work editing on the wiki.
Okay, if you're able to get your stuff into the critique group and you're able to get your stuff into the do things on your vision page, then that you probably have that information in your head already, sort of?
Yeah, okay. And I will tell you that everybody misses, and it makes me sad because I spent 17 hours doing it. all of my training videos that are on the main Sakwa U website,
right
here under training videos.
No, we don't miss it.
I mean, there's all these training videos on how to do everything on here, and they're in different file formats.
Mm-hmm.
And I did them, you know, in different separate sections. There's joining critique groups, how to create a page from scratch, editing an existing page, which is what you already have in the visioning project,
mm-hmm.
navigating around your personal profile and account settings. So, I mean, I did all of these videos already. So they're there as well. There's a printable guide, which is also on the visioning project homepage, but it's also here on Sakwa U. And this little quick reference guide, too, because I'm the type of person that I love video, but I also love the Cliff Notes version. As much as I love technology, I love my Cliff Notes. So this is a little two-pager that also you can print out as a cheat sheet as well. But listen, I don't mind giving another webinar training. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. But if I can, I'd like to maybe hook you up with Eileen. And we can see if that doesn't work, we'll get it together. But what I would like you all to do, I think, since I think it's time for us to kind of end up this call, is that I'm going to create a sheet on Sakwa U on the place where we had our, on the visioning project where you guys signed up for this call today. I'll put a link off of the homepage. And why don't we put a list of topics that we want to talk about, and I'll arrange another visioning call specifically for the visioning team in the next couple weeks. Does everybody think that's a cool idea?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that way we'll have a running agenda on stuff we want to talk about. That's probably the way to handle this.